Today, as we begin our message, if you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And we're going to be looking at the message entitled, What Happened in Bethlehem Didn't Stay in Bethlehem. Now, I'm sure that all of us have heard that saying, what happened somewhere stays somewhere. You know, that saying, what happened in Vegas stays in Vegas. I can remember when I was up in Illinois and I was in a bowling league, and we had a bowling team that went to a state tournament. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that compete over several weekends for that, but we ended up taking, I think it was 10th or 12th, whatever it was for that year. And we were pretty proud of ourselves that went around and told people about it and bragged about it. But then they were the same team. We didn't do so hot. As a matter of fact, I think we probably came up in last place that year. And people were asking us, well, how did the bowling tournament go this year? And we made the comment, what happens at state stays at state. And we didn't really want to talk about it. Well, today we're talking about, as I said, what happened in Bethlehem didn't stay in Bethlehem. You know, when we look at the Christmas story and the Christmas scenes and just the different messages there and the different scriptures, we see a lot of different viewpoints and a lot of different characters and what they might have been feeling at the time in this whole story. In Matthew, we have the viewpoint, say, first of all, of Joseph. You know, we can kind of imagine what Joseph might have been feeling at that point when he found out that Mary, his fiance, his betrothed wife, was going to have a baby. And it wasn't his. Of course, it says here that Joseph, in trying to be faithful to the law and faithful to God, considered to divorce Mary, but do it quietly so that he wouldn't make a spectacle out of Mary, because he loved her, truly loved her. And he, trying to serve the law and what he felt that he had to do, and just his love for Mary, he was torn. And then how the angel visited him and told him, said, hey, it's okay, Joseph. And told Joseph what was going to be taking place and what he was supposed to name the baby, and just all that, just to relax that God had it all under control. Of course, I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but the angel was just reassuring Joseph that God had everything taking place with God's plan. So we have Joseph's viewpoint there, and just the things that he was going through. We have the viewpoint of the wise men. You know, they're coming from the far off country, and they finally get there. Just their searching, just everything that they went through, going to Jerusalem first, and then being directed to Bethlehem. And the view that they had in bringing their gifts. Now, they probably got there about 2 years after Jesus was born. And just the things that they went through, and then being told by an angel to go a different route, don't go back to Herod. You know, we also have Herod's viewpoint. You know, not a good viewpoint, but we have his viewpoint of being a jealous king. When he heard that a new king had been born, he didn't like that. He felt threatened. He thought somebody was after his throne. So then he ordered all the 2-year-old boys and under to be killed because of the threat that he felt. So we have his viewpoint. In verse 39 of Luke, we see Mary going to visit a cousin Elizabeth. Now remember, Elizabeth's husband was Zechariah. Zechariah had been visited by an angel and told that he and Elizabeth were going to have a child in their old age. And Zechariah asked a question to the angel when he was in the temple there burning the incense. And Zechariah says, well, how can this happen? We're too old. He wouldn't say, well, what's the event or how is this going to take place? He just simply didn't believe the angel. And how Zechariah was punished with not being able to talk till the baby was born. Of course, we know that baby was John the Baptist. But Mary gets that visit from an angel. And she is told that she is going to have the Son of the Most High. Mary has been told that she is going to give birth to God's Son, the Messiah, the, Israel has been waiting for. So she goes and visits Elizabeth. Now remember, Mary hadn't told Elizabeth about the angel coming to her yet. She's just now getting there. She greets Elizabeth as she comes into the house to see her. And Elizabeth, she says that the baby in her womb leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's voice, the one who is carrying her Savior. As I said, Mary hadn't told Elizabeth anything about what the angel had, or what had happened to her, what the angel had said. We know that the Holy Spirit must have come upon Elizabeth and told her at that point what was happening. And just the joy that she was feeling of knowing that Mary was going to have the Son of God. So we have all these different ones. We have the shepherds, you know, we're going to be talking about here in a moment. We have Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, and even though he wouldn't believe at first. But there's one that we often talk about, or when you mention him, I should say, that sometimes we don't really think about too much. And that's the angel Gabriel. You know, Gabriel, of all the angels of God's creation, was chosen to go tell Mary that she was going to have God's Son. Now imagine how that could have made Gabriel feel. I mean, if we had been chosen to do that, just the happiness, the joyfulness we would have felt that God would have chosen us. And just the, you know, it could have been Gabriel that went to Zechariah and Joseph, maybe even the shepherds. We're not told for sure it was, it could have been, but we are told that he went to Mary. And just the joyfulness that Gabriel could have been feeling and being chosen to do that. Today we're going to look at chapter 2 of Luke. We're going to look at two different scenes. Two scenes that bring together some people from each scene and also show us what we are supposed to do with the Christmas story. So let's read together Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. To you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried up and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. which were just as they had been told. So let's start off by looking at the shepherds. Now, it goes without saying that most likely the shepherds were just a little bit amazed. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they were terrified when all of a sudden the angel is there talking to them and telling them what has taken place in Bethlehem. The angel's message was simple, but at the same time profound and so important. A Savior, the Messiah that they had been waiting for, had been born. It says it's good news of great joy for all people. And David continues to say, and you will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Simply a feeding trough is where this child is going to be laid. Now, look at the response of the shepherds. It says that they went quickly into Bethlehem. They didn't wait around to discuss it, but they left quickly. Now think about that. They're out there with the sheep. It doesn't say anybody stayed behind. It says that they simply went quickly and went to Bethlehem. So we get the idea, we don't know for sure, but we get the idea that, hey, maybe they just left the sheep out there, which would have been not normally what they would do, especially at night, leaving their sheep to the dangers of the darkness. But they simply were overjoyed. And so they simply took off for Bethlehem. Notice also how the angel told them how to recognize this baby that had been born. Now, have you ever thought about that? Why the angel had to tell them what to look for? Well, think about it. If you were looking for a newborn baby, would you go to a barn? Even in the Bible times, would you go to a barn looking for this baby if you had not been told where this baby was? No, you would have gone to a house or asked people, okay, there's a baby in this house or whatever, but you wouldn't have gone to a stable. You wouldn't have gone to a manger looking for him. We're also told that the angel told them that this baby would be wrapped in cloths. You know, the angel is very specific for what the shepherds were to look for. And those cloths that he mentioned, well, when the sacrificial lambs were born, the lambs that would be used for sacrificing, like on the Day of Atonement, they were wrapped in special cloths to wipe them off and to keep them protected. And so now we see Jesus, this baby, being wrapped in those same types of cloths. Of course, we know later that Jesus became our sacrifice. Now, what do the shepherds do once they see the baby? Just as the angel had told them how they would find him, what do they do? Well, let's look at verse 17 there again. Just read there a little bit. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. They proclaim the good news that brings the great joy. And who do they tell? Anybody and everybody who would listen to them. Anybody they could. That's who they told what had just taken place. They tell them what the angel said to them. They tell what the angel told them what to look for. And they told them, that's exactly what we found. And that's the news that they have for the people around them. Now, the word angel simply means messenger. So if you think about it, the shepherds went from hearers of what to look for to being messengers or being angels of what they had experienced. Now, I don't mean like the created angel like we see in Gabriel or the one that visited Joseph, but simply, as I said, the word angel means messenger. And that's exactly what the shepherds that night became. Messengers of what they had been told and what they had experienced. The essence of this good news that causes great joy comes in the praise of the heavenly host there in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That was the news that the shepherds were spreading that night. In other words, we could say something like this. You mean to tell me that after everything I've been through, after all the failures I've done, after all the ways I've disappointed God, after all the ways I've sinned, that through Christ, I can have peace with God? And that's exactly what that message is saying. We can have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, God made us a way to know his favor and grace. And this grace causes us to praise him. The angel praises God in verse 14. The shepherds praise God in verse 20. We are to praise God for the coming of his eternal Son to save us and to give us peace with God. It's not just through his birth, but it's through what Christ did for us on the cross. His dying and rising again. And the promise that when we come to him and ask for forgiveness, that is exactly what we get. And we are made to have peace with God when we do that. We also have there the witness of Mary. In the beginning verses of Luke writes down that he has investigated everything that he is writing in those 24 chapters that he writes there in the book of Luke. Remember, Luke was not one of the 12 disciples. He was not there that night when Jesus was born. I highly doubt he knew any of the shepherds. In fact, we are told that he may not even come to know Jesus until Luke was in his 30s. Way after Jesus had died and rose from the dead and ascended back up into heaven. Now, we don't know that for sure. That's just kind of the timeline that scholars have put together and kind of assume that or kind of look at it that way. But yet, we have so many details from Luke about what took place in the life of Jesus, and especially the night that Jesus was born. So we have to ask ourselves, well, how did Luke get so many details? Because nowhere else do we see these details in God's Word. Well, you know, in the verses that we just read, it says there that Mary did what? That she took these things, everything that was happening, everything that the shepherds said and did, and held them close in her heart. She pondered them. She held them close in her heart. It would make perfect sense that at some point Mary probably told Luke or told somebody, but look at Mary telling Luke, because Luke is investigating. It would make perfect sense for Luke to go to the person who was there that night. Remember, Joseph by this time has died. The shepherds are probably scattered if they're even around anymore. And Luke trying to figure out or trying to find out what truly happened that night. It would make perfect sense for him to go to Mary and receive from her the first hand what had happened that night. It was only because of what Mary shared with Luke and what took place that we have the story, the details of what happened that night. You see, Mary took something that was so dear to her and decided that others had to hear about it. Not just for Luke's writing, but for generations to come. For the last 2,000 plus years, people have read this story over and over again. The shepherds became messengers on that night that Jesus was born. Mary, when she told Luke what has happened and what was surrounding the birth of Jesus and the things that took place, she became a messenger that night. And we are called to be angels. We are called to be messengers. Again, when I say that word angel, I'm not talking about that we become a created being, like God's creation of being an angel. That's not what I'm saying. We don't become angels, but we do become messengers. That's what we are called to do. We all know that different people that when they become followers of Christ and they go and they tell people about it, that's exactly what we are called to do. To simply tell people what God has done in our life through Jesus Christ. The blessings He's given to us, the way He's walked through times of trial with us, and taking us through those situations, but most of all, to tell people how we became born-again Christians and receiving the forgiveness of Jesus, and therefore having peace with God. No longer being judged by God for our sin, but to know that we have been forgiven through His grace. But the biggest tragedy I think that we could ever do is not to tell people that we believe in Jesus, that we have accepted Him and what He's done for us on the cross. When you think about it, if nobody had ever told us about Christmas or the Christmas story, would we care? If no one had ever told us that we could be forgiven of our sin, would we care? If nobody had ever told us the true meaning of Christmas and just everything that took place, would we care? Sure, there's a lot of people that celebrate Christmas as a holiday and a special time, even time to be with family, but haven't heard about who Christ is and why He came that night. Well, maybe they've heard something about it, but they haven't told the true meaning. That Christ came that night not just to touch people's lives when He walked on earth during His ministry, or to heal people, but most of all to die on a cross for our sin, to rise again to be our living Lord, our living Savior. As I said, the one that we can go to and ask for forgiveness of sin and be promised of that forgiveness and to live eternally with Him. If people don't hear it, how can they care about it? We have been called to be messengers. To go and tell people about the Christmas story, about His death and resurrection, and what He's done for us in our salvation through Him. So although by the time you read this, the Christmas holiday is going to be over, by the time you see this video, but remember, we are called to be messengers all year through. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do praise You and thank You for this day. We thank You for the many blessings that You've given to us. We thank You for Christmas and Your birth, but most of all, we thank You for what You've done for us on the cross, dying and rising again, the promise of forgiveness when we ask You for it. Help us not to hold it in for just us. We can hold it close to us and ponder just like Mary did, but help us to also spread the word, to be messengers of Your word and who You are. We pray this together. Amen.